Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week I bring you new, exciting guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And tonight, wow, we have an amazing show lined up for you. I hope you all enjoyed last week's show when we had on Stephen Bodian as a guest to talk about his book, Wake Up Now, which is basically a guide to spiritual awakening. It was an amazing show. I really had a good time speaking with him. And tonight, wow, I am just so excited about our guest tonight. His name is Eddie Benitez, and he's actually a legendary guitarist who's becoming very well known and is quite successful, so we're really lucky to have him. And we're going to be talking about his music and some of the spiritual experiences he has had and how it's inspired a lot of his music. He has an amazing story to tell. At a very young age, he trained with a legendary classical guitarist, Andre Segovia. At age 14, very young, Eddie debuted his first concert at Madison Square Garden in front of more than 20,000 fans. Wow. That same year, in 1976, he released his first album, Nightlife, which quickly went gold, and the very next year, in 1977, his album, Essence of Life, also went gold. And since then, he has never looked back. Now, he's always been a very spiritual person. However, at age 23, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease, which really caused him to take a deeper look at his own mortality and spirituality, and I guess opened up a door or something, because since then he's had a lot more very spiritual and paranormal experiences, including a near-death experience, visions of angels and spirits, miraculous healings of himself and others, ghostly hauntings, and just all kinds of really incredible stuff. His case has been studied by various agencies, including MUFON and others, and he has also been featured on television on the Discovery Channel with a program titled Casa de los Muertos, House of the Dead, which turned out to be an extremely popular episode and has been aired several times in the United States and in other countries. His music is really very, very influential. He has played with such legendary figures as George Benson, Barry White, Celia Cruz, and Tito Puente, to name just a few. Wow. His latest CD is titled Lovers Never Say Goodbye, which features the hit They Cry. And his current project is his 2008 Angels on My Stage tour. And that's not just a figure of speech. Something like that actually apparently happened in Phoenix, Arizona in 2003 when several fans, many fans, claimed to see angels on the stage with Eddie while he was performing. So this is really an incredible story. Eddie is very highly sought after, and we are very, very lucky to hear him tonight. And if you want to hear more about him and his music, he does have a website on MySpace, which is www.myspace.com/Eddie Benitez. That's E-D-D-I-E-B-E-N-I-T-E-Z. All right. Well, that's basically the introduction. Eddie, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you, and I'm honored. And that was a long introduction. Do we still have time left? I'm honored.
Well, I'd like to give some people some idea of who you are. I mean, you know, I've talked about a lot of different subjects on this show, and when I heard about you, I'm like, wow, this sounds very, very interesting. Because, I mean, music, I've always thought, is very connected to spirituality. Certainly, I mean, a lot of musicians, famous musicians, say that it is. One example comes to mind is John Lennon, who said that his song Across the Universe was basically not written by him, but came to him in a dream, and which is pretty much what Paul McCartney said about his very successful song Yesterday. And I don't know, many musicians have said that. So you've had some incredible success. So have you always been interested in music? I mean, you started very young.
Yeah, I started very young in music. And and the spirituality also, but I didn't put the two together actually back then, and I would question my mother a lot of the things I would see, and she would tell me in time I would know more.
Oh, how interesting! So, what were some of your early experiences with them? You know, music and spirituality.
Well, when I was young, about 10 years old, I used to see, you know, 10, 11, 9 years old, I used to see angels floating over me while I was laying in bed at night, and I used to cover up my eyes. And sometimes I used to scream out for my mother, I'm seeing this, what's going on? And she used to say, don't worry about it. Just
wow.
Go to sleep.
Well, what did they look like?
They were transparent. They looked angelic, you know, very beautiful with wings.
Wow.
And it was like dozens and dozens of them just crossing my path, you know, above in the ceiling. And I would see them just going through the wall and everything like that, and it was amazing. But at that age, I remember being frightened a lot, you know. Of course, my father was with the military for 30 years, embassy guard, and then he was part of the NSA for his last 5 years. But in one time we were in Atlanta, Georgia. He had to go over there for a couple of months. When we ended up in the military base, we were given a house there for a couple of months. And I got lost in the woods across the street from where we lived at. It was all wooded area.
Right.
And I remember that they put an all-points bulletin to look for me. MPs, FBI, everybody was looking for me. I disappeared, but apparently I encountered five what I call elders. And they looked more or less like what Moses would look like, or Abraham, you know?
Wow.
And they put me inside of a cave after talking to me. And that's where the, as far as I can remember, that's where the sheriff found me, actually.
In a cave?
Yeah.
Well, Eddie, now that's an amazing experience. You're kind of skipping over that pretty quickly. I mean, what was that like? What did they say? I mean, did they tell you anything? These
well,
elders?
They were apparently grooming me for something. Right? And I know what they were grooming me for, and I'm not trying to stray away from the question, but it was for more spirituality for myself and to share with the world.
Wow.
You know, that Jesus Christ, you know, preached about love. And there has to be more of that. They're kind of like grooming me to proceed with that, I guess, through my music.
Wow. Now, did these elders give their names, or did they say where they were from, or anything like that?
They just said they were part of the 24 elders.
Wow. Oh, very interesting. Did they just look?
Yes, sir.
Did they just look like normal people? I mean, were they wearing?
No, they looked like the Moses type, you know, with the gray old men with the gray hair and long robes and things like that.
Well, what were you thinking when you were with these guys?
Well, I was a child. I was about 6 years old at the time. It was a 3-month stint that my father had in the United States. Was sort of living in Europe.
Okay.
And I explained that to my mother, what had happened. My mother just told me to be quiet about it, not say anything.
Oh. Wow.
So I did that. Of course, well, I encountered them back in 19... throughout my life, I've seen them on and off, but I've seen them more consistently back in 1993.
Really?
And I was on the eye of MUFON. Okay?
Right.
MUFON questioned me a lot. They came to my house. And another government agency, which I had no idea, but my father got rid of them.
Huh. Well, how did MUFON hear about you?
I have no clue. Well, I can imagine why, because there was an object that had been seen over my house.
Oh, really?
It's just an assumption. there was a blue object about the size, twice the size of the of my house, and it was hovering over the house. And my nephew had come over, and I'm talking to him, and my back is towards the house, and he's looking at this object, and his eyes like opened up real wide. And when I looked back, the object was there, and then it just went south. Okay, the next day, and I'm not going to name any places, okay?
All right, sure.
But the next day, there was a press release that a meteor had fallen into a lake, right? And that's what people had seen, and the government was explaining that it was a meteor that fell in the lake. But the object that I seen went south. The lake was north of me.
Hmm.
It was impossible for that object to land back north when it went south.
Right. I see what you're saying. Wow.
Yeah, so there was a little cover-up there. Do I believe it was a UFO? I don't think so. I think it was something more heavenly.
Oh, how interesting. Well, the lines can kind of blur a lot of the times with this sort of thing. I mean, Jimi Hendrix, who I'm sure you've heard of, he had a very interesting encounter with what appears to be either an ET or an angel, which saved his life in upstate New York. He and his entire band had become snowed in a snowstorm when this being showed up and actually melted the snow around them.
That one.
Yeah, it's actually pretty well known. And there's a lot of really well-known musicians who seem to have this kind of really strong connection to either, I don't know, you can call it the heavenly realms or the other side or spirituality or what have you, but
when I was in my 20s, I had the honor and luxury of meeting Betty Hill.
Oh, really? Wow.
Right. Remember the Betty and Barney Hill? Remember them?
Journey? Sure, the most famous UFO case.
And we used to talk at least two or three times on the phone. And I remember her telling me how she used to film on an everyday basis. She used to see things, you know, and film them. She had a camera to film these objects that would pass by her house on an everyday basis. Of course, Barney had already died, I believe, at this point.
Right.
And she introduced me to a fascinating guy named Alan Hynek.
Oh, wow. The father of modern ufology.
Yeah, that's right. And I had many conversations with Alan Hynek because I was curious about UFOs, and I was also wanting to kind of like see the difference with spirituality, UFOs, what's really going on. And I wanted to hear his perspective and Betty's, and of course those were my lost years.
Wow. So what did J. Allen Hynek think about the whole spiritual aspect of UFOs? Do you remember?
He thought that spirituality was a big part of ufology, but he also believed that UFOs were real and that they were from another planet, a parallel universe or something like that, you know?
Right.
But he used to work with the Project Blue Book.
That's right, right.
Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
And when he started, I remember him telling me that as he went along with Project Blue Book, that he was there to discredit UFOs.
Right, that's right.
And he started actually believing in UFOs. And that's how he parted, with Project Blue Book and all of that, you know?
Right, thank goodness for that. Yeah, he ended up writing two books, basically blasting the Air Force for covering up this stuff.
A very nice guy, though. A very nice gentleman, smart guy, intelligent man.
Well, he's had a huge, huge effect on the UFO field, that's for sure. So, wow, that's amazing. You actually met him.
I have a different opinion on UFOs now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what do you mean?
Well, after I talked to several people, including Dr. Hynek and a few other people, then what was that movie that came out that it went back to Ezekiel that he saw a UFO, that a lot of biblical people saw UFOs and things like that?
a fictional movie or a documentary? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about...
It was a documentary.
Right. Chariots of the Gods, yeah. There's been a lot written about Ezekiel. Oh, absolutely, yeah. By Ron Daniken.
He described the wheel within a wheel and eyes round about it and all of that.
Right, right. And Elijah being lifted up into the chariot. And there's a lot of biblical stuff that sounds a lot like UFOs. It's wild, yes. So what do you think?
It sounds a lot like UFOs, but by the grace of God, you know, I've encountered a lot of angelic beings.
Right.
And I was told a lot of things about religion, about UFOs, and a lot of things like that. And now I've created kind of like my own little foundation. And you know what? It all leads back to spirituality.
It does. You know, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I definitely have done a lot of research on UFOs, and you just can't separate a lot of these aspects of spirituality from it. I mean, the people who are having really major encounters are almost always also seeing ghosts and angels, and a lot of them have had near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences or precognition or what have you. So there's definitely a very, very strong connection there, but I'm not exactly sure what it is. Maybe you can help me there. I mean, what do the angels say about UFOs?
Well, let me ask you this question, okay?
Sure.
Well, I'm going to answer you with a question and an answer. if I said that right. But most people who believe in UFOs, right?
I think that, yeah, the majority, Gallup polls show that majority of Americans do believe in UFOs, yeah.
And most people who believe in UFOs, what do they think is going to happen with UFOs?
Well,
that they're going to come back and save the world, right?
Either invade the world or save the world. And personally, I don't think it's going to be either, but I think that's probably the most popular opinion.
They're going to come back and save us from destruction.
Right, right. Save us from nuclear war and all of that.
And that takes away from the truth of spirituality, because our Savior is who? Who believe in the past, those who believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior is supposed to be the Messiah, Jesus Christ, right?
Okay.
So, who would want to take away that influence that Jesus Christ is going to come back? Who would want to take that away and make people believe that UFOs are going to come back and save us?
Wow. You know, it's interesting you say that, because I've talked to several, I guess you would call them abductees, who do feel that there's going to be, I guess you would call it a second coming or a rapture-type event, which is somehow connected to Jesus and religion, but also connected to the whole UFO subject. And I don't know, it can get very confusing.
Well, I know a lot of people are going to hate me out there who believe in UFOs.
No.
But you know what? I believe that they're seeing UFOs, okay?
Right.
There's no doubt about that, okay?
Right.
Well, I actually witness ships from outer space or inner space, okay?
Right.
But it takes away that they're going to, you know, they say they're going to come, most people who encounter UFOs say, well, they're going to come back and save us from nuclear destruction or self-destruction or whatever. But, you know, it takes away from the prophecies that Jesus Christ is going to come back into that.
Right.
And who would want to do that but Satan himself?
So you're saying that a lot of the UFO phenomena may be demonic in origin?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I've heard that theory many times, and I've definitely molded around and studied that whole subject. But I still keep coming back to the fact that ETs are a lot like us in many ways. I think most researchers feel that ETs are not here to save us. They're not here to take over the world, but are mostly here like scientists or tourists with some interest, but basically stay out of world affairs for the most part. Don't know if that's true, but that's what seems to be their behavior.
I, I, just don't see, I don't see no sense that everybody, most people who get abducted, right?
Right.
They claim they got abducted, they were on a silver table, and they had an anal probe in them.
Right, that does happen, yeah.
Well, you'd think these beings would be more intelligent than to stick an anal probe in us, right? I mean, what purpose does that serve?
Well, you know, one abductee told me, she asked the ETs why they were doing this, and they told her it was to measure the level of pollution in her body. Because apparently we take in a lot of toxins because of our, you know, pollution. So that's one theory. But, you know, I understand where you're coming from, and I respect it. I'm not sure I believe it, but...
I just don't see what's the sense of doing that to a human being, because they learn nothing from that. They could learn more by just landing and appearing in the White House lawn and talking to the president.
Right.
We're talking to somebody in authority.
Well, I totally respect what you're saying, because, I mean, shoot, you've had all these experiences, so you would be the one, you know, to talk to about this. So it's very interesting. I mean, so what else have the angels told you about this whole situation? I mean...
Oh, religion is, of course, you know... God does not want his children divided, and religion divides his children. Therefore, religion was a creation of faith.
Oh, how interesting. That's kind of ironic, too.
If you look at it, it does make sense, because every religion divides people.
Wow. Wow. That's very, very interesting and somewhat controversial. But, you know, there's a lot of people who would agree with that.
When my book comes out, I'm sure there will be a lot of Catholics wanting to kill me, maybe.
Well, let's hope not, because, you know, I think it's time we all do wake up to the fact that we are one people on one world and in one universe, you know. And
We are one race in one world, and
exactly.
That's a human race.
Exactly. So what's really amazing, you know, with you and your whole life and your experiences is how you've been able to take these experiences and turn them into music, and I guess your spiritual experiences have had a very strong influence on some of your greatest hits. So,
well, my new CD was totally inspired by Melodies from the Heavens, okay? I did that new CD in 5 days.
Wow. Now, Eddie, this is just fascinating to me, because I've read a lot about, you know, the heavenly realms. I've actually had some experiences with that as well, very spiritual experiences, and the music that's described there is just amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. So did you actually hear this music, or did you, you know what I mean, or just did it come through you like a channeling type thing, or?
Well, I would go into the recording studio, right, without a song. All right? I would just walk into the recording studio and say, okay, close my eyes for a minute, hear melodies, and right there compose a song and record it at the same time.
That's astounding. I don't think a lot of people realize how special this music is. You know, I heard a quote once that said that... music is God's gift to humanity, and I told that to my best friend, who's actually this amazing musician. He can pick up any instrument and just play it. He's incredible. He said, no, music is not God's gift to humanity. It's humanity's gift to God, which I thought was really kind of, you know, an interesting way of looking at it. But either way, it's just...
I agree with you. I agree with you on that one, you know, but, you know, something inspired from the heavens, you know, you should share with the world.
That's incredible.
And that's what I'm doing now with my music and what I've learned through my illnesses. You know, I had cancer, then I had a heart attack in 2001.
Oh, goodness.
And now they can't find any heart damage.
Wow.
And I went into a 3-day coma, and that was right after my son was possessed by a demon.
Jeez, Eddie, wow.
And that was the focus of the Discovery Channel. And year and a half, the Discovery Channel and then the film company was after me to do a story, to do my story, because they had heard so much about me. And I finally gave in, and, you know, and usually they don't give the right names on the Discovery Channel of the people, and they said, well, can we use your real name and everything? I said, well, go ahead. You know, I don't mind, you know, that I'm part of TV land and the haunting show, and whether people believe that my son was possessed or not, it really, you know, shouldn't be the focus of it. The focus is that it can happen to anybody.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I'm sure that I've actually talked to people who, you know, had very scary experiences like that, so no doubt that it is happening to a lot of people.
And I'm going to tell you, did you see the Discovery Channel haunting show, Casa de los Muertos?
No, I didn't. I mean, I don't remember. I may have. I watch a lot of that stuff, but I can't recall.
Well, you can punch it up on YouTube.
Oh, really?
You could punch it up. Just punch in Casa de los Muertos on YouTube, and all six parts or five parts are on there.
Wow,
and
very nice.
They didn't tell the complete story.
Wow,
you know, if
wow.
they had told a complete story, it would have taken about three shows.
Wow. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is legendary guitarist Eddie Benitez. And we're talking about his music and many of his spiritual experiences. And, wow, just this is really some amazing stuff you're talking about. Now, let's get more into this whole Casa de Muerto story. How did this whole thing start? I mean, was this a haunted house that you moved into or something like that? Or?
Yeah, the house we were in Arizona was apparently somebody had died there of an overdose of drugs.
Oh, wow.
And he apparently was a racist.
Oh, no.
So we had the luxury of meeting an entity who was demonic and a racist also. And I'm Puerto Rican, so it was not fun.
Wow.
But my son Eddie Jr. actually got possessed by this man.
Well, how did this happen? How did this whole thing start? I mean, how did you know that there was a ghost in your house?
Well, after a couple of weeks that we moved into the house, we noticed at times we would wake up in the kitchen cabinets, the doors would be open.
Huh.
You know, and little signs like that, the TV would turn off and things like that. And then, you know, one day I walked into the kitchen and the doors of the cabinets were just open, close, open, close, open, close. You know, they didn't show that in the Discovery Channel.
That happened right in front of you?
Yeah, right in front of me. And
wow.
Then my daughters, they, you see in the Discovery Channel, it looks like I had only one son, one child. Okay, but I have six children.
Wow.
Okay, wow. And I remember my youngest kid used to tell me, man, we seen somebody in the bathroom. I ain't going in there no more. And I say, oh, it was just your imagination. Don't worry about it. But then, you know, Eddie started looking weird, and one night he just, you know, grabbed his chest and said, something's going on with me, I can't breathe. We took him to the ER, they did every test on him, and they could that evening, and they found nothing. A week later, we had taken him back, and they admitted him for about 3 days to conduct further tests, and
right.
They did every test in the book, and nothing. Totally healthy young man. And I decided that, you know, maybe what was going on in the house, that's when everything came back to me, that from my mother's knowledge that she passed on to me when I was young. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe this house is possessed, you know? So I didn't want my family to really look deep into that. So I got some ghost hunters, you know?
Okay.
To come in and take pictures and things like that.
Right.
And, of course, they caught a lot of orbs in the pictures and things like that. And in one picture, they caught the face of a man.
Huh. Wow.
And I had already talked to a neighbor, and he had told me that the man who died there, his daughter lived three houses down from me, right?
Okay.
So I went and I, unlike the Discovery Channel, I had gone to her with the pictures, and I showed her the pictures, and she said, yeah, that's my father.
Oh, wow.
She verified that that was, and I said, well, you know what? This is we took these pictures in the house. And she actually became agitated.
I can imagine.
Because she did not want us to get rid of her father.
Huh, wow. I mean, what can you do? You have to do something.
She said, that's my father's spirit in there. I don't want you guys getting rid of him. And I went to a Catholic church, not by choice, but I just went to a Catholic church and talked to a priest, and he was coming over the next day, right?
Right.
And when he walked into the house, all the cabinet doors just started opening and closing, right? And he ran out the house.
Oh, wow.
And I said, Father, where are you going? And he says, no, this is too much for me. I can't do this.
Oh, no. Wow. So what did you do?
Isn't a priest supposed to, like, call a bishop and tell him, look, this place is haunted. We got to do an exorcism.
Right.
I found that when he ran off, you know. But what I did was I remembered what my mother did to take spirits out of people, demonic spirits, with the water in the glass, and scientifically it does work, you know, with the electric magnetism, you know, negative energy and all of that, and it worked on my son.
Well, so you did the whole ritual yourself?
Yeah. So when it takes a Catholic priest to exorcise a human being 2 to 9 months, something like that, I could do it in 15 minutes.
Well, there you go. How interesting, wow. So
and
it was,
you know,
totally
it
successful?
Maybe, pardon me?
So it was successful? I mean, the ghost never came back?
Never came back.
Nice.
Not that
wow.
we know of, because we moved out of that house.
Wow.
So we moved out of that house just to get a feeling of starting new, you know, new place and everything, and not having any memories of what went on there, you know?
Right.
And, you know, all my kids are familiar with what happened. Do they talk about it? No. Do they believe it? Some do, some don't. One of my sons believe in that. But yet he'll come to me once in a while, I think I saw something.
Really?
But, you know, it's all about faith, you know? Whether you believe in spirituality, UFOs or whatever, you know what? It's the faith in Jesus Christ and God that's going to pull you through everything in life, you know?
Right. Well, there seems to be a lot of, you know, people searching right now and being drawn towards these subjects. So I think the work you're doing is really important.
Well, you know, people are being drawn to that subject now, spirituality, because look at everything that's going on in the world.
Right, right.
You know, earthquakes are happening more often. You just had one today in Iceland. You know, an earthquake out there.
Is that right?
You know, things are happening. Gas, and the prices are going up in gas. You know, I'm starting to walk more.
Well, have the angel told you anything about, you know, the future of our planet and, you know, what's going to happen?
Well, a lot of more things are going to happen, and I don't think an angel has to tell me this, or you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that we're taking out the blood of the earth, you know?
Right.
By the pollution and the oil and all of that, you know? So you're going to see much more earthquakes or volcano eruptions, but, you know, what I've been told is the sign of a volcano erupting from underneath the ocean near Antarctica.
Really?
Is going to be the beginning, yeah.
Well, that's kind of scary.
It is.
So is this something we should all be worried about? I mean, is there anything, what can we do? I mean, just embrace spirituality.
Maybe if everybody in this world, or 50% of the people in this world, became more spiritual and had more faith in Jesus Christ and God, maybe this world would just, you know, become better for all of us. And we've got to sharpen this world up and make it better for our children.
Right.
The politicians ain't doing that.
Not very well, that's for sure. But you are, so, I mean, it's amazing. Like, tell us about what happened in Phoenix, Arizona in 2003 when people started seeing angels. Not only you, but other people were seeing angels on the stage. Is that right?
Yeah, we were doing a corporate show. I can't name the company that hired us, okay, because it was a big corporation.
Right.
We were doing a corporate show, and people started fainting and moving around a lot, and some were even screaming. They claimed to see angels on the stage that I was performing.
Wow. Could you see them there at the time?
No, I didn't see them.
Isn't that amazing?
So a few of them were taken, who passed out, were taken to the hospital, and I found out they were drug-free and alcohol-free. So it wasn't anything that they took or any type of medications or anything like that. But it fascinated me that the people would, you know, one person came up to me and said, I saw an angel on your stage, and that's where the name Angels on My Stage stood.
Wow, that is something else.
So now we're having, besides other concerts I'm doing in Asia, and Australia and Europe, I'm creating an Angels on My Stage concert series. So the people can go and not only enjoy great music, see a beautiful show, but also leave with some spirituality.
Right. Oh, wow.
I have one record on the album. The record is called They Cry. And a lot of people have written to me saying that, you know, they've received miracles through that record.
Wow, like what type of miracles?
Healings of illnesses. Basically, a lot of healings.
Right. Well, you know, that's just so nice to hear. I've always known that music is a very, very healing thing. And I know that hospitals are actually allowing harpists, people who play harps,
that's a beautiful instrument.
Yeah, hospital rooms, because it's been proven that harp music actually does aid in physical healing. So apparently, there is a connection there.
So I got to learn how to play the harp then, too.
No, I think you're doing fine with what you're doing. Well,
yeah,
everyone, you're listening. You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is legendary guitarist Eddie Benitez. And if any of you out there would like to phone in and ask him a question, or if you have any comments or whatever, we'd love to hear from you. I'll give out the toll-free number right now. So grab a pen. It's 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that one more time. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-228-4494. So, Eddie, let's talk more about all these healing experiences you've had. So, I mean, Hodgkin's at age 23, that must have been extremely frightening.
But, well, I had Hodgkin's at 23. They found it at a later stage. I was a stage 3B. And I went through chemotherapy for 10 months and radiation for 1 month.
Right.
And after 6 months, the cancer came back.
Oh.
And they wanted to give me a bone marrow transplant. Or I had about 3 months to live.
Oh, no.
And one night I woke up, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, I went in and got water. The day before I was going into the hospital. And I had the room lit up like a bright light, almost like fire. And out of it, there was this man coming towards me. And as he came closer to me, it was apparent to me who he was. And he put his arm around me, and he told me, Eddie, you're not going to die. I'm always with you. Now, a lot of things happened in between there, but the next morning I woke up feeling like $1 million, and I called my doctor. I said, Anthony, I'm not going to go to the hospital because the Lord healed me last night. He says, Eddie, you're wishful thinking, you're dreaming, you know, you'll be dead in 3 months.
Oh.
And, this December 23rd, it'll be 24 years.
Wow, congratulations. Wow. What a nice, amazing story.
And I haven't seen a cancer doctor since then.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I think that there's a lot of cases of that sort of thing happening. People, if they're open to it, can really experience these amazing healings quite easily, because certainly I've talked to a lot of people who've had that type of experience. So it's
see,
very,
that's
very...
why I was in their investigation for MUFON.
Oh, I see. So
because
they were thinking... Of...
And I moved to another state, okay, before Arizona. And
okay.
This is back in 93. Back in 93. And people were knocking at my door. It started with one person, and they said, I don't know why I'm here, but something led me to knock on your door. And right away I would hear what I called an angel whisper in my ear and diagnose the person. And I remember the first person was a man who had lung cancer. And I asked him to come in, and that's when I heard this angel tell me what he had. And I asked him, do you have lung cancer? And he says, yeah, how did you know that? I said, that you wouldn't believe me if I told you. So he asked me to pray with him. And we prayed, and he left. And 2 weeks later, he called me saying that the doctors could not find lung cancer in him anymore.
Wow.
So eventually, I was getting 1 to 2 people per day and 5 to 10 people per day, and it became crazy. 20 to 30 a day.
No, wow.
And
that's
when MUFON came over, and they were asking me if I had any contacts with alien beings, because they had heard a lot about me.
Right.
So, of course, one of the people from MUFON, and I told him he had prostate cancer, and he flipped over in the chair.
Huh.
He says, there's no way in heaven and earth you could have known that. You know, and this is their first meeting with me. He said, an angel told me that. And he stood quiet, and they were kind of shocked.
I would imagine, yeah.
But then I remembered that I had spoken with my father. And keeping in mind that my father was for 5 years with the NSA. And my father did some quick research on the phones, and they had told him that MUFON was funded by the government a lot. To be careful what I said.
Right. Well.
So, you know, I know MUFON does a lot of good out there, but they're also funded by the government privately.
Yep, I have heard, you know, certainly I have heard that. I
heard
don't
that
know.
One?
I have.
Okay.
There's a lot of controversy surrounding everything with UFOs for some reason.
I know, right?
So, I don't know. It's
you know what, maybe it'd be great to see Jesus Christ come out of a beautiful silver object, right?
You know, I wrote an article about that several years ago. There's at least 20 cases where people have been on board your classic flying saucer and seen who they believe to be Jesus or a Christ-like figure at the very least. So certainly there is...
You know what? You got to email me that article where I could find it at.
I'll get it to you if you'd like.
Well, I'd love to read it.
Yeah, it's really quite shocking. And there is a very strong, strong parallels in a lot of these religious events, like the miracle at Fatima. I don't know if you've heard of that. I believe it was 1913 or 1918, when like 40,000 people saw these bright objects.
George.
Right. So there is a connection there.
You know, well, I only say one thing to the people that I know and I encounter. You know, just have faith in your heart. You know.
Right.
Have faith in Christ and in God. And you know what? Things will just come to pass and you will be blessed, you know?
Well.
You know, you have too many things going on in this world, you know, hunger. You know, right now we have that war in Iraq that's needless. I don't even know why we're there. You know, and a lot of our brothers, sisters, mothers, and fathers have died there. You know, it's time that the world seek peace. You know, they criticized Jimmy Carter for going to Iran and talking to to the Prime Minister of Iran, but you know what? He went there on a peaceful mission. What did Jesus Christ do? He wasn't hanging around the good people. They didn't need it. The bad people are the ones that need the preaching to, right?
Right.
And I'm going to tell you for a fact, if I've read through 20 pages of the Bible, it's a lot. So I'm no biblical scholar or anything like that, nor do I want to be, you know? I meet people, you know, and who are sick, and I pray with them, and you know what, I just said, you know, just have faith in Christ and God and create that faith, build around it.
Right, well, that's what you're doing with your music, basically. I mean, you must be healing enormous numbers of people. I mean, the number of people you're reaching now with your music.
Well, I hope I'm touching a lot of people through my music, you know, and making them feel good, because that's the important thing, to make people feel good, you know?
Right.
If you're sick and you hear my music and you feel good, then it's beautiful. You know, if you like my music, if you love my music, and it puts you in a spiritual mood, or makes you happy, or makes you relax, you know what? It's a beautiful thing.
Wow. So are you still having experiences then with angels and healing and all of this stuff?
Yeah, we are.
Wow.
I live with my son now, and we're still experiencing. We have an entity living with us called Sarah. And then this is true.
Oh,
and she speaks to me. See her sometimes. Sometimes we just hear her. But Sarah was murdered. And she was about 19, 20 years old when she was murdered in Arizona. And she kind of like moved into the house we live in. And I know a lot of people are going to think I'm strange or crazy, but I'm not. I'm not really.
Oh,
I'm not
no. Into it. I totally believe you. I've talked to way too many people to have any doubt anymore.
You know, I went to the shrink. He sent me to the psychiatrist, to another psychiatrist, and he sent me to the priest, and I said, he's sane. There's nothing wrong with Eddie.
Right.
So I'm perfectly sane, and you know what? What we see is what we see. What we hear is what we hear, and, you know, by the grace of God, we're capable of helping people by way of the music or talking to them or even just smiling at them. You know, next time you walk up the street and you see a stranger, smile at him. Because you know what? When he smiles back at you or she, it's going to make you feel real good.
Right. Well, it's a way of spreading the positive energy around and uplifting all of humanity so we can get through these difficult times.
You know, let's leave our luggage and our baggage behind. Just, you know, take life and easy and befriend people. You know, whether they're good or bad. And it's the bad people who have bad influences in their life that need the help. They're the ones who need a pat on the back and say, don't worry, man, everything's going to be okay. You know, whether you're on drugs or you're a criminal or whatever, you know what? You've got to be nice and show them love.
Right. You know, I think it costs like $70,000 to put one person in prison for a year. Now, if you were to just give that person the $70,000, they could live a happy life. If we were to take all the money we spend on the Iraq war and just use it to fund peace and stop poverty and starvation, we could change the world completely in a year. So I totally get where you're coming from.
I agree with you there. You know, we spent billions and billions in Iraq, and we forgot about the people here in America. Well, not we, but the politicians live.
Right. Well, definitely.
People, around the world, there's poor people, but we're here in America, and there's plenty of poor people here. People that their houses are being foreclosed. Right now, it's the highest rate of foreclosures going on.
That's right. It's very, very turbulent times right now, so. Your work.
You go to the government, oh, my house is being foreclosed. You know, all I need is like $4,000, and then they don't lock the door on you, but yet they'll give billions to Iraq. And then, by the way, what is Iraq doing with the oil money that they have? They need our money.
Right. It's a crazy world. It really is. But I think it's getting better in a lot of ways. Certainly people are waking up to these other realms and, you know, their true potential as human beings.
Well, as human beings, everybody's got to unite. And the focal point has to be here in America to set the trend, you know?
Right. So is that the angel's basic message is, you know, come together in peace and friendship and spirituality?
Yeah, you know, befriend the enemy, you know?
Right, right.
So if you show the enemy love and truth, you know what, he might change his ways.
Right. So you've been asked by the A&E channel to do a reality show. Is that something you're going to pursue? Or
Well, right now we're in discussions because there's a lot of people out there who are psychics and mediums, okay?
Right.
We all know that psychic is another word for a counselor that accepts money. Okay?
Right, yeah.
They're great counselors and they take your money.
They certainly do. Some take quite a bit of it, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I always go by a gentleman, a magician, the Amazing Randy. You're familiar with him?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, he's had $1 million bond out there, reward, for 30 years now, or maybe even longer, for anybody who could prove to them that psychics, mediums, UFOs, or anything like that exists, right?
Uh-huh.
And nobody has.
That's true.
Even Sylvia Bond.
Well, yeah, that's pretty controversial. He's got his own qualifications for what you have to do to prove something like that. So proof in one person's eyes is not necessarily proof in another's. And personal experience, I think, is always the best for, you know, any person.
No, apparently he hasn't had any personal experiences with anything like that. Really, you know, it's really hard to convince him.
Right.
Do you remember the story? I forgot his name. That out in Sweden, back in the 70s, this man who was claiming to see UFOs every day.
Billy Meyer.
Right. And
right.
Of course, they found out that Billy Meyer was a fraud.
That's controversial too. You know, that depends on who you talk to in this field. I've had, you know, some experts on the show actually who claim that no, it's absolutely true, and others who say no.
Dr. Hynek believed he was a fake.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
A lot of his films that he gave were recreated to show the same thing, and you know, basically, Billy Meyer could never give anything, any physical evidence or anything like that, just pictures and film.
Right.
And now, if you're seeing UFOs on a daily basis and you're having contact with them, you should have a little bit of physical evidence. I mean, if you could go into a spaceship, you know, take something.
Right.
Got the
key
or something and show the world, you know?
I think it's maybe a little bit easier said than done, but I see what you're saying. He did have some evidence, though. I mean, there were landing traces. He did get a metal fragment, which was analyzed by Dr. Marcel Vogel. He has like 50 or more supporting eyewitnesses, but proof? I don't know if he has proof. So that's hard to come by.
We're always going to have good negative and positive about everything. right now, there are 50 people. You know, half of your listeners are saying this guy Eddie's a nut, and the other half are saying, "Gee, Eddie's really spiritual."
You may be right. You may be right. Well, I believe you're absolutely amazing, and I think your success speaks for itself.
Sometimes I just have to take a comedic tone to everything and laugh at myself, you know, and laugh at the world, you know?
Right.
And hope that I could get some laughter back.
Well, you know, I've had a great time talking with you. Our time is pretty much just about up. We have like 1 minute. So, Eddie, do you want to give any last messages to our listeners out there or tell them where they can hear more about you? You have that website on myspace.com, which is your name, Eddie Benitez.
Right, and there's another website. You could go on angelsonmystage.com.
angelsonmystage.com, okay.
You to listen to my music on there, read more about me, my past, present, and my future, I guess, you know? But, you know, people go to my MySpace or angelsonmystage.com, and if I'm in your area performing, check out the show because you might see an angel.
Right. Or become healed or who knows what else.
Or something. But I guarantee people will walk out with something.
Wow. Well, Eddie, it's been fantastic speaking with you. You're an amazing man, and it's just been a real honor. And I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you very much, and it was an honor for me, sir.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I'd love to have you on again maybe sometime in the future if you'd be amenable to that. But until then, I want to wish you all the great success and happiness, and thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, that is our show for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it. You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Eddie Benitez. He's a legendary guitarist who has become very, very influential and quite well known. You can check out his work on his website, which is angelsonthestage.com, or at MySpace, which is myspace.com/Eddie Benitez, all one word. And check it out. It's an amazing man who's really having a huge influence on the world, and we're very, very lucky that he's with us on this planet at these turbulent times. Well, that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have, and I hope you can join us next week when I bring on another exciting guest to talk about UFOs and the paranormal. Until then, have a great evening and a wonderful week. Bye.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.